Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. You know, recently I was surprised to discover that one of the premier builders of pipe organs in this country, and maybe in the world, is headquartered in Johnson City, Tennessee, where American Variety's flagship station, WETS, is located. This turns out to be a fascinating art, craft, and technology all blended together, and I wanted to learn more about it. I thought you might, too. So my guest today is Brad Colby, Vice President of R.A. Colby Pipe Organ Builders. Welcome, Brad.
Well, thank you for having me, Court.
Great to have you on. First, I guess let's just plunge in and tell us a little bit about the history of the company and when it started and how to get going.
Well, I'm actually third-generation builder in the family. My grandfather got into the industry after World War II. He came back from Europe. Through a series of jobs and different things, he found his way working for the Wurlitzer Organ Company. Well, Wurlitzer Jukeboxes, and they had a organ division, and he worked with them. He later launched his own company, and my father grew up in the family business and moved to Johnson City, Tennessee in the late 70s to branch out and begin a supply variation to the organ industry. We imported and supplied parts from a British company. He later then branched into new instrument construction, which is where we are today. And I joined the company in the early 90s, have been involved ever since.
Wow, so this is a third-generation company. That's unusual in this day and age. Was it hard for them to make an entry in this very specialized market from a small city in Tennessee, which at the time was, there were probably no interstates. It was probably way out of the way, huh?
No, not really, because the unique thing about our business is we have to go to the instruments. They can't come to us. While we work all over the country, where we're based, it's sort of the inverted relationship to people who work from home now. We have to go to these locations to work on these massive instruments.
Well, do you make only pipe organs? I don't know much about organs at all. I mean, you know, certainly it's not a set of bagpipes, and it's not an organ that somebody would have in their home or anything. These are big cathedral-level organs. And so are you making only pipe organs, or are there even different kinds of organs?
Oh, there's all sorts of different kinds of organs. We specialize in combination instruments, which use both pipes and digital reproductions of pipe sounds. Very high quality, specialized things dedicated to the instrument. And then within the organ industry, there's a variety of different options and styles, as well as sound characteristics, construction techniques, all sorts of things. So it really is as broad and diverse as, say, the auto industry, where cars will get you from one point to another. Pipe organs all generate an organ-type sound, but there is virtually an infinite variety of variations within the business.
So it's not just the variations in the number and lengths of pipes and stuff, but, I mean, are there different kinds, fundamentally different kinds of pipe organs?
Yes, there's three basic variations. There is the traditional, they're called tracker, which is all a mechanical action, meaning when you press a key, it moves a lever that pulls down something else that allows air to pass through the pipes, all mechanically linked direct from the performer to the pipe itself. And then there's the style that we produce, which uses a combination of electricity and wind, pneumatics. You have a little more flexibility where things are located, how they're laid out, designed. And then the third type would be electronic organs. They are just run with speakers, no pipes at all.
But I gather because your company is called the R.A. Colby Pipe Organ Builders Company, you don't do the strictly electronic version.
We do some, but no, primarily we have pipes in all of our instruments.
All right, well, speaking about pipes, why don't we play a music clip from one of the organs you built. This is called the Symphonic Organ, I gather, and it's from a CD you gave me, and it's called the Star Wars Suite, and it's just a clip from it.
Thank you.
Wow, that was pretty neat. So just tell us a little bit about that that organ, just kind of briefly.
The real fascinating part is actually the musician behind it that makes that happen. The performer is David Haggerty, who is the resident organist at the Castro Theater in San Francisco, California. He is famous for pushing organs to their limits using the most cutting-edge technology available today. That particular recording was done on a large six-manual, which means six keyboards, instrument that we have up in Hurricane, West Virginia. And he uses everything at his disposal to create a unique and interesting experience for the listener. And as you could tell, that was the Star Wars theme.
It's kind of funny. There's a town named Hurricane, West Virginia. I had no idea. That's kind of like, I don't know, Earthquake, Miami or something. Earthquake, Florida. So you described that one installation, but who are your customers in general? I imagine most of them are churches. I assume that's true.
Yeah, primarily the pipe organ has moved to a liturgical setting. There are several concert venues, and us as a company, we've done several private individuals. We've done them all over the country. We've got individual instruments in the homes in California. We're doing one right now for a home in Atlanta.
I assume we're not talking about the cost of buying a piano. What, on average, just as a general range, what do pipe organs cost? And in particular, the ones you just mentioned that an individual might buy, what do they tend to be? What's the cost range for those?
Oh, as a general range, they will go somewhere from about $150,000 up to $1.5 to $2 million or even more. Obviously, there's extreme examples on both ends of the scale.
Wow. So somewhere in the middle is $500,000 instrument or so.
Yeah, and that's pretty much where these individual residence instruments have fallen.
You know, for everybody listening, I urge you to go to www.racolby, that's C-O-L-B-Y, racolby.com, and they have a beautiful website there, and you can see lists of the customers and click on each installation, each place, and you can see photos of those organs, and there are videos that are interesting and some sound clips. Look and listen along while you're listening to the radio show if you want to. Brad, how do you deal with a customer before starting to design the organ? I mean, you don't just plunge in to build $1.5 million instrument by talking with them over the phone. So what do you do?
These are designed to last for generations, and they are a sizable purchase. So we take great pains to ensure that the instruments that we end up building for these people are the ideal fit for the space where they're going, their intended purpose, whether it's for concertizing or worship or just private enjoyment. That all goes into the consideration of the design. The room that they go into is critical. My grandfather always used to say that the most important expense on an organ is the room that it resides in. And so listening to the room, observing how various sound frequencies behave, and then extended conversations with members of the purchasing committee or the individual about what they want it to do, how they want it to sound, styles that they like. We'll take them to see and hear various installations of ours so that they can further refine what they like and what they would prefer to see on their instruments. And then from that point, we get into the actual mechanical design. But a huge part of the initial interaction is all obviously based around sound.
So I'm trying to picture this, dealing with a committee of people who don't know much about an organ, and you're talking about something that's abstract because you haven't built the organ. Maybe they have a smaller, older one in their church, maybe not. But I'm thinking that can get pretty complicated dealing with a lot of personalities. So, like, is that something you do just as part of the marketing and proposal stage ahead of the actual deposit and purchase, and you're spending a lot of time traveling and talking with them and doing all you just described?
Typically, committees will self-educate to a certain point. And then a big part of our job is to educate them, because there's often several companies that are in the bidding process. So it's important that the committees understand what they truly are interested in, and so that they can compare apples to oranges. Again, going back to the car analogy,
sure,
you have to understand, you know, why this particular feature is important on this vehicle, but not necessarily on another. It's the same with pipe organs. Education is a big part of our responsibility and commitment to the customer.
It must be really critical, and you mentioned this, to account ahead of time for the acoustics of a place, of a room. I mean, how do you, when there's not an organ in place or not your organ in place, how do you do that? Is that a really specialized skill where, you know, can anybody who's in your company who's kind of experienced do that, or is it something that you have to have a particular ear and talent for?
Definitely comes down to experience and having the ear and talent, knowing how a room will respond to different instruments. A lot is based on experience, just doing it over and over and hearing the results and learning from your mistakes, because the mistakes have to be corrected during the process. So you'll know, oh, well, this doesn't work now. We'll have to do this and go through all these expenses to correct it. So next time we sure won't make that same mistake.
Well, that's what I mentioned in the beginning in the introduction to the show, that it's an art and a craft and a technology all balled into one. And so a lot of what you're talking about here is really art. I mean, let's play another one. Here's a clip from a different album, a different CD, but I understand it's from the same organ, the Hurrah Symphonic Organ. And the clip is from the Inspiration CD, and the particular track is called Toccata. So that was neat. Is anything different about that than you described in the first one, which was the Star Wars suite from the same instrument?
I think it's important to understand that these are both from the same instrument, so you can hear the dramatic difference in the artist's ability to create different sounds and emotions from the same instrument. And this goes back to the design. That particular instrument is a little bit fortunate in that it is quite large, and so he has a lot of tonal colors to choose from. But in all of our instruments, we look to design them to be as diverse as possible so that you can play as much different literature from different time periods and to different occasions and audiences as possible.
Yeah, and we've all heard organs in churches probably and how impressive they are. And so the clips I've been playing here on this radio broadcast off a CD over the air are nothing like what you would hear and feel, I guess, if you were sitting in the actual building where the sound is going through you and making you vibrate like a tuning fork, right? There's no comparison.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. And every time I give tours of instruments to people and they see it and hear it live with a focus on the instrument, they all have a very similar reaction of just awe.
Hmm. Well, I guess that's why they're in churches. They make you think of God and the hereafter, right? So you're listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with Brad Colby, who is vice president of a pipe organ building company called R.A. Colby that's located in Johnson City, Tennessee. And even though it's in a kind of an out-of-the-way place, it's one of the premier builders of pipe organs in the country. And as he explained, it doesn't matter really where you are, because the customers in the church doesn't come to you, you go to them. So we're talking about the whole process, really, of kind of conceiving and designing a pipe organ. What are the general kind of major elements of an organ, and how many parts are there, that kind of thing? What's the nuts and bolts involved?
Well, after we have finalized all the education and all the theoretical design and things with the committee or the person and the space and all that, and we actually get into the mechanics of physical design and construction, it passes through the hands of several artisans in our company, initially starting out with some of the most talented people that I, to this day, am in awe of, and those are our visual designers and engineers. They will design the instrument completely three-dimensionally in the computer so that we can see how everything fits, how visually it looks in the building. They create photorealistic renders so that we can be sure that architecturally they match. And then from that point, once everything, you know, all the bugs and nuances are worked out, then we generate typical construction books, just like you would for any large construction project. We have all the materials, purchasing orders, that sort of things. Then it passes into the hands of our CNC operators who use computer-controlled machinery to cut some of the either intricate parts or the routine parts, the repetitive type things. Simultaneously, we have craftsmen on the floor that transform just basic lumber, hardwoods, American and imported, as well as high-quality plywoods into these fantastic work of art. And I've been doing this for 25-plus years, and I still am fascinated every time I see what these people are capable of doing and how they do it day in and day out. It's just, it's inspiring. We take all the components, various pieces that you asked how many components there are in an instrument, and they range from thousands up to in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, it's staggering.
Gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Materials range from miles and miles of copper wire to electromagnets to custom designed blowers to supply regulated wind to the instruments, and computers to control various aspects of their operation. I mean, it's just staggering. All this comes together into the instrument. We assemble them in the factory, test everything, try it out, be sure that it all fits and interacts like we're happy with, and then we take a portion of the artisans that constructed it on site to reassemble the instrument. And then a separate crew comes in to do the tonal finishing, where we work with each and every pipe to help it find its unique voice in the instrument to ensure that they all blend together to create the cohesive instrument that we all envisioned from the onset.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, the computer-aided design part of it and then the computer, I guess, numerically controlled manufacturing aspect of it. So obviously this became easier or different anyway in the computer era than it was before. Did it just become faster where those things were speeded up, or is it better, more precise somehow with computers?
Funny, it's like any other advancements in technology. There were improvements in speed and efficiency, things like that, but then those got transferred into more intricate designs, more complicated configurations, which took more time. So overall, I would say that the total amount of time invested in an instrument ends up being relatively the same.
Yeah, you talked about the upwards of millions of parts, which is hard to imagine trying to keep track of all that. I mean, you know, I can hardly keep track of what's on my desk, right? But there must be some standard modules or assemblies that can be mixed and matched, even though each organ is itself unique, right? There must be some parts where you don't have to assemble from scratch, you know, this thing that's got 2,000 parts in it, but you can kind of plug that in. Is there any kind of plug-and-play aspect to it, I hope?
There is some, and there's a lot of repetitive variations. For example, a particular sound in a pipe organ is one pipe for each key of the keyboard. So there's 61 pipes that range in length relative to their pitch. So as you go up the keyboard, they get smaller. But then each rank of pipes will have the same 61 notes, and basically they're all operated by a similar mechanism. So there's a lot of repeatability in the construction, manufacturing, and assembly. So right off the bat, for one sound, there's 61 particular components, 61 holes that you have to bore, or 61 screws that you turn into a particular area. So there is some repeatability to it.
What's the, out of all the ones that your company has made over the decades, what's the biggest, if there is one single one that stands out, the biggest or most elaborate one that you guys have ever built?
Well, I'm going to have to break that into two. Right now, we have the world's largest fully functioning organ console in our shop that we're just finishing construction of, and it's going out to California. It's just an incredibly massive piece of equipment that is designed in such a manner that a single person can sit while they're playing and reach everything without moving their body significantly off center. We go through that through a lot of computer design time, and then we actually build mock-ups out of foam so that we can sit at it, test it, modify the design in prototype stage before we start the construction. Now, the most grand instrument that we've ever done, and one that we're particularly proud of, is we did the U.S. Naval Academy instrument in Annapolis, Maryland. That project was a very massive multi-year project that we completed probably about 5 years ago is when we put the finishing touches on it. And it's around, 150 voices at the organist's disposal in all sorts of variations and combinations. It may even be larger than that. I don't have the numbers prepped off the top of my head, but it's elaborate carvings, details, and tonal sounds in the complete spectrum from around 8 hertz all the way up to inaudible on the treble end.
Surprised the windows in the chapel don't break, right? You know, I've seen in person a couple of organs close up, and what's amazing is that, I guess they're called stops, the little keys that are mounted on the sides and front. They aren't like laid out like the keys on a piano. There are those too, but there are hundreds of these little keys that are left and right. Are they called stops? And how many of those are there in a really big organ? And how the heck does somebody manage to control those?
Yeah, the artistry that a performer has is staggering. I mean, they're working both hands and their feet at the same time while continually selecting new colors from which they paint their tonal pictures. The number of stops or tabs, those controls, basically those controls function one sound for the full range of the keyboard. And then there's other control functions, but generically those represent one particular sound for the keyboard. We do instruments that have 20 or 30 stops, up to the largest one out in California that has hundreds and hundreds of them.
Hard to imagine that one person could actually play the thing. It sounds like you'd have to have 8 arms to do it right or something.
Well, with the advent of the computer technology inside the organs themselves, they've been able to add a lot of features that make the organist's life easier. They're able to preset registrations, and then they can manipulate those registrations. So simply by pushing a button, they can bring on these vast combinations of these sounds that they've already predetermined to be appealing for the particular piece of music that they're playing.
You're listening to American Variety Radio. We're talking with Brad Colby, who's the vice president of R.A. Colby Pipe Organ Builders. To me, the most beautiful part of an organ, even though the whole thing is sort of stunning, the most beautiful part is the wood cabinetry. You know, this is not, you know, just like an old-fashioned stereo console. That's really impressive, unique sculptures of wood. You know, it's like the ultimate in finished cabinetry on a very, very large scale. I'm wondering, you're building these parts back in your factory, but you're building them to measurements that you've made on site previously. They must have to be extremely precise because this thing, I imagine, has to fit in place like a hand in a glove, or better than, in order not to loosen up and vibrate and so on. How do you deal with that aspect of it?
Oh, yeah, they're extremely sensitive to the tolerances. We do a lot of very extensive layout work initially using a combination of traditional tape measure methods and architectural tricks to get details of moldings. We've experimented with using 3D lasers in the past. On large projects or complicated projects where tolerances are a real concern, we'll build prototype mock-ups of certain aspects to verify that they'll fit in the room, that we do have our dimensions correct. Or we'll create molding samples and take those to the church to verify that we have duplicated these historic carvings or moldings precisely. And then we make modifications and repeat the process until we're happy with the level of quality and finish.
Well, that's really precision engineering on top of everything else. So, you know, also then another aspect is how durable, Brad, does an organ have to be? I mean, they're in a place that has climate control, and so the humidity varies, and some of them may be by the ocean, and some of them are in the mountains. I mean, they must be pretty fragile in some ways. How do you deal with that part of it?
In some ways, they're fragile, but the industry has been around for centuries, and through tricks of the trade and tried and true methods, a lot of those bugs and quirks have been worked out.
How many organs has your company built over the years, roughly?
Oh, that's a tough number. We do a lot of supply where we'll just do parts of instruments. Complete instruments, I would say we've done somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 instruments, and then thousands of partial or components related to instruments or other people's instruments.
What has been maybe one of the most satisfying commissions that you've done as far as your overall experience with it?
To revisit it again, I would say the Naval Academy. That was it was a proud moment to be offered the ability to work in that chapel, that historic chapel for the United States, and what the Navy represents and what they do for us as a country. It was very humbling.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Well, let's play one last clip, and this is Climb Every Mountain from the Symphonic Organ Goes to Hollywood CD. Beautiful again, and again, it was from, I guess, that organ that's in Hurricane, West Virginia. That's a lucky bunch of people out there in their old Hurricane. Again, you can go to racolby.com, C-O-L-B-Y, racolby.com, and Racolby, R-A-C-O-L-B-Y, on Facebook, where there are several videos of different aspects of the organ building process. In fact, one of the funniest ones or coolest ones to watch is a fast-motion, speeded-up video of the assembly of one of these giant instruments. And the website has photo galleries of dozens of these organ installations all over. Brad Colby, I want to thank you so much for being on with us and giving us an overview of the pipe organ business and process, which is something that probably most of us never thought about before. It's been fascinating.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
I have too, and thanks to all of you for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.